This is a wonderful time of the year that I really enjoy. I travel a lot. I meet a lot of different people. It's the year you see a lot of people, it's time of the year you see a lot of people shopping. Christmas is around the corner. I have a lot of friends down in Florida, and I go to visit them at this time of the year. They're all in a big hurry to get the jobs done and the construction completed before the first of the year. I have some Jewish friends down there, and I thank the world of them. I told one day if there was a language that I would love to speak, any other besides English, if God would give it to me, I wished I could speak Hebrew. For one down there speaks fluent Hebrew. We hated each other at one time, and we just didn't like each other, but we learned to be great friends. And he began to teach me a lot of his ways, and he practices Torah Judaism. And we would tease each other a lot, and especially this time of the year. They celebrate Hanukkah, and they have just come out of what they call the Week of Atonement. And I had made up my mind this year, when I went down, I was going to tell him, Sherwin, on the way to Florida, I found this goat out in the wilderness, and I brought him back. I know he would have teased me a lot about that. Every one year he called up, he wanted me to deliver a kitchen down on the 25th of December, and I told him absolutely not, I will not do it. Why not? I said, it's Christmas. I ain't nothing to Christmas. He said, but I'm not getting into this Jesus Christ thing. I said, yeah, and I'm not getting into Judah Maccabee, and I'm not going to celebrate Hanukkah. I said, do you light the menorah candle every night? He said, yes, I do, but it's a children's thing, but there's nothing to Jesus. It kind of made me want to be mad with him, and it kind of stung me. But that day, as I got back in the truck, something kept telling me, Charles, forget it, he's blind. He don't see what you see. There is a veil over him, and this week, I got to thinking about that veil. And in 2 Corinthians, thinking about how Moses had brought the children in the book of Exodus when he had brought them out and had went up on the mountain and had went behind the cloud, and they had built the idol god, the calf of gold. But Moses had went back, and Moses had talked to God. He had seen the back of God, and when Moses came down out of the mountain, the glory of God so shined on his face that the people couldn't look upon it, and Aaron took a veil and put over his face. And then reading in 2 Corinthians today, the other day, I was reading this, and I see that veil is still over their face. For I believe it's the 3rd chapter, 12th verse. Seeing then that we have such hope, as we use great plainness in speech, and not as Moses, which put a veil over his face, that the children of Israel could not steadfastly look to the end of that which is abolished. But their minds were blinded, for until this day remaineth the same veil untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament, which veil is done away in Christ. But even unto this day, when Moses is read, the veil is upon their heart. Nevertheless, when it shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, as even by the Spirit of the Lord. Now we see the veil that they look to, the veil of law, and it hides the glory of Jesus Christ. And they look to the law, but the law was a shadow of things to come. This veil blinds them. I'm a truck driver, and I worry a lot about safety. I pray every time I leave that God would give me safety. And when I'm out on the road, and I see a lot of dangerous, you get in a lot of dangerous situations, and I see a lot of things, but when I make it home, I'm always so grateful when I pull in to Lawrence County. Immediately I start praying and thanking God that he has brought me through and kept me safe. There's a song in our book. I've never heard it. You ever heard it sung on a record? Safe Within the Veil, 441. A sea captain had to write this, for every verse talks about the oceans and how it is to be out in a rough sea and the wind and the storm, how to be out in the hurricanes and then find a safe harbor, and that harbor is his veil. Safe within the veil. Now we're safe from all temptations, all the storm of life of past. Praise the rock of our salvation, we are safe at home at last. Rocks and storms I fear no more, when on that eternal shore, drop the anchor, furl the sail, I'm safe within the veil. We have another veil, Christ Jesus. The Hebrew letter tells us of this veil. This is a great and wondrous high priest that became a veil and purchased our salvation with his own blood. In the 10th chapter of Hebrews, 12th verse, but this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God. From his forth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool, for by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. I grew up in an order that believed not in the finished work of God, but the unfinished work. I grew up in an order that believed that we had to do some kind of work to obtain our redemption. I grew up in an order that believed our sins would send us to the bad place. But yet, whereof the Holy Ghost it is a witness of, for he said before, in this scripture here he has wrote in Isaiah, in Jeremiah, and now they quote it in Hebrews, this is the covenant that I will make with them after these days, saying to the Lord, I will put my law into their hearts. I will put it in their minds, and I'll write it on their hearts. And their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. It's a mystery to me today how men will stand in front of thousands of people and place the burden of that on God's children as they listen to them, that their sins, if they do this or they do that, is going to send them to hell. But they preach this over and over again. But here he says, I will remember their sins no more. So there is a veil between us and judgment. And that veil is Jesus Christ. He is the high priest that went behind and went into the holiest of holies and became the blood offering himself. And God accepted that offering. And then God promised us, I will remember your sins no more. Amen. And he didn't say, if you sin later on down the road, I'm going to judge you on that sin. He didn't say, I'm going to bring you in front of me and we're going to talk about the sin you've done. He said, I don't even see the sin, because there's a veil standing between me and the sin. Chapter 20, by a new and living way which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. Jesus today is our veil. I spoke the other night of Jesus being our Lord and our shepherd. David said, 23rd Psalm, the Lord is my shepherd. Brother Willie come behind me and spoke of him as a lamb, for John saw him when he said, behold, the Lamb of God. A sacrificial lamb, but yet a shepherd. And he is our veil. We have much hope in Christ Jesus. All of our hope is in Christ Jesus. I heard three wonderful sermons last week. They just blessed me. Sunday morning over at Pleasant Plains, Brother Sam preached a wonderful discourse, and I just received such a blessing from him. Sunday evening, I called a dear old aunt I have in Florida. I didn't get to visit her Thanksgiving. I had to work. She is my only living aunt. And we were talking, and we got to talking about my mother, and I said, Aunt Eileen, you might need to sit down, but I'm going to tell you this. About 3 weeks ago, they liberated me, my church did, to take the stand and to try to speak. She said, well, Charles, what are you? I said, well, nothing right now. I'm just a speaker. Are you ordained? I said, no, ma'am. Well, are you one of them elders? I said, no, ma'am, not yet. She said, well, I'm just proud you are what you are. She said, tomorrow I'm going and have my eyes operated on it. I want you to pray for me. And I said, I will. He said, child, if you will, pray for my soul. I said, Aunt Eileen, I don't have to pray for your soul. She said, I'd like for you to pray, but she said, I want to tell you something, Charles, and you remember this. I hadn't been in the church for years and years and years. And she said, I have been so disobedient. But she said, ever since I was a little girl, I have loved God and I have believed in God. And said, I have held on to, he that believeth on me shall not perish. And all of a sudden she began to preach to me. And I just began to get a blessing for John 3:16, from now on will always have a new meaning to me. Sunday night when Brother David was talking about how Abraham and them had reached out and gripped what they could, they didn't have what we got. Many of our brothers and sisters on the outside don't have what we have. They don't have the light we have. God has not shown them the light that we have. But such is the light as they do have. They reach out and they grip it and they hold on to it. And here was my dear old aunt telling me that all the days of my life, child, I have believed. And I said, Aunt Eileen, that's all it takes. And I thank God today for the finished work of Jesus Christ becoming the veil, becoming the high priest, and going in and instead of offering bulls, the blood of goats, he offered his own blood. And God said, I will remember their sins no more. And she has gripped that and she is holding on to that. And that's all it takes for her. I'll tell this, Brother E.D., I never did get to hear him that much. But I have a lot of his tapes. I've been to different churches and I've confiscated tapes out of our church. When I'm on the road, I can listen to him. And in one of his tapes, he spoke about the blood, how we are saved through that blood that our Savior offered. That everything we are, everything we ever will be is through the blood. A few months ago, about 3 years ago, I'll tell this and get quiet. But we were down in the hospital waiting on my niece, my nephew, to be born. I'm the only Primitive Baptist in my family, and we were all gathered around, and it looked like she was just putting it off. Wouldn't hurry up. It done got about 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, and nerves had done got on edge. And a natural brother of mine, he immediately began to kind of get on to me about being one of them old heart shapes. And then he put into trying to get me to go to their church, and he told me, he said, I want you to go to a real church. I said, I do go. Amen. And I thank God that he's given me what I got. And he said, yes, but then he began to tell me all about what I needed to do for salvation and what I needed. Well, after a while, it kind of got to me, and I just got right over in his face, and I stuck my nose right in his face, and I said, I want to tell you something. I want to tell you now. I knew this little girl a few years ago. I met her. She was a beautiful little girl. She was a drug addict. The look in her face, she had a glazed look on her face, and had a heart of pure gold. I never seen nobody so sincere in my life. For she was in drug treatment and she wanted to get off. She come up to me one night and she said, Child, Mr. Child, I can't get into this God thing. I said, what are you talking about? She said, I just can't believe in God. You keep telling me that I've got to believe in God. I've got to do this and I've got to do that. She said, I can't get into God. To me, there is no God. I said, Lori, there is God. But you just hang tight. It'll come to you. About 2 weeks later, I saw her and I walked up to her. And she had a beautiful look on her face. Her eyes were all lit up. She walked up to me and she said, Mr. Chalk, there is a God, ain't there? I said, yes, Lori, there is a God. but she told me her story. She was abused by her father at 11 years old to 16 years old. It was continually put in her head day in and day out how dirty she was, how worthless she was. When she found out that her father was abusing her little sister, she took her little sister and brother and she kidnapped them in the middle of the night, brought them into the state of Washington, turned them into the Department of Family and Children Services. They placed them into a foster home. A case was made against her father and her brother, and at that time they were both in the penitentiary. But this little girl was out on the street. Who wants a troubled child, especially a troubled teenager? We ask ourselves, we have much compassion for them, but we look in our houses, but do we really have them? She went from place to place and foster home to foster home, and it got worse and worse. Finally, she married one time for survival. It was a rough marriage. It didn't last too long, and she found her way into Texas. Pretty soon, she was on the street. She was doing things that we look down on today, but to her, it was survival. Then she found herself in Macon, Georgia. What's more, she had married again for survival, for the man had promised her a great life, but this time she had a little girl. She woke up that morning and looked at that little girl, and she decided that she would dedicate her life to that child, to see that that child didn't grow up as she had grown up. As I told my brother that story that night, I said, I want to tell you something. This little girl had been treated like dirt her whole life, and she had been told how filthy and how dirty she is and how low she is. Nobody in her whole life has ever walked up to her and held her and told her how much they loved her and truly meant it. And I said, the day will come, brother, and you listen to me. She will never, never, unless God directly intervene, accept Christ as her personal Savior. But I believe the day will come that she will walk through the streets of heaven, and she will look around and ask, how did I get here? And the angel of the Lord will say, through the blood. You got him through the blood. Well, he didn't know much what to say. There are millions of Aunt Aline's, and there are millions of little Lori's out there today. But let us thank God that once and for all, He offered His own blood, that our eternal security is secured in the book of Hebrews. It's a good place to read it. We are secure in Jesus Christ. We are secure in the blood. He has become our veil. We are safe within Him. He is our Lord. And if we ever make it through, it'll be through the blood. Thank you for your good intention, listening to me. And when you pray, mention my name.